Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayim. We are in the third pasuk, Kemalatu Tov Velora. We have been speaking about the subject of Hasadim Tovim, somewhat of a sensitive subject. It's a very sensitive subject. Some might even say it's a little heavy. Who would have thought that kindness could be a heavy subject? But the heaviness comes because every person, is involved with a tremendous amount of chesed every day in their life. And when they learn about true chesed, and maybe chesed that's not 100% authentic, it hits a little bit of a chord. Because if I walked around thinking I am the best in something, and then all of a sudden I hear something that says maybe it's not the best, so it's heavy, it's hard to hear. But of course we're here to learn, we're here to acquire wisdom, we're here to understand what Hashem's understanding of every subject matter is. And it's a guarantee that the more we understand, the better we will do, and the better we will do, the more success we will have in everything that we do. So even if it hits, when you see it hits a little chord, when you're feeling a little uncomfortable when you hear something, very often it just means that you've hit something that is relevant to you, and you've hit something that's valuable and needs an upgrade. It's not a reason to be upset. It's not a reason to give up. It's just a wake up to realize there's more to do. So, Hasadim Tovim, we've been learning that it is a person who does kindness selflessly, kindness for the other person, and no intent for themselves. Of course, a person can benefit from the kindness they do for others. That's not a problem. Which means, if I do someone a kindness and I know I'm going to benefit from it, it's not a problem. Knowing you're going to benefit doesn't take away from your kindness. It's the intent of why you did it. So if I am doing this to help somebody, and in the meantime I know I will get benefit, then in itself it's not a problem. Doesn't take away one iota from the kindness. We're talking about when the intent is driven either partly or fully by self-interest. That's the issue. Benefiting from kindness is not an issue. The intent and what drives kindness is the discussion. It's not possible to talk about Hasadim Tovim without mentioning the Hasidah. The Hasidah is one of the birds in the Torah that Hashem tells us we're not allowed to eat. It's not kosher. You know, unlike fish and animals, when it comes to birds, the Torah did not give us simanim. We don't have signs for what makes a bird kosher or not kosher. When it comes to animals, we have two signs. They have to have split hoofs and they must chew their cud. Torah doesn't give names, it just tells you the siman, the sign. When it comes to fish, we have scales and fins, signs. But when it comes to birds, there are no signs given in the Torah to what makes a bird kosher or not kosher. The Torah only lists the names of the birds that are not kosher. So if you don't have a bird on that list, so automatically you know it's kosher. However, the Ramban in Parashat Shemini, when the Torah discusses the non-kosher birds, he tells us that Hachamim, they taught us simanim by birds, which means if I see a bird and I don't know the name of the bird, so there's a way to know, one of the ways at least, to know that it's for sure not kosher. There's a way to know if you see something about it that it's for sure not kosher. Doesn't necessarily mean if it doesn't have it, it's kosher. But they all seem manin to what makes birds the sure not kosher. The Ramban says, Hachamim gave simanim by birds. That if we see such a siman, such a sign by a bird, automatically we know it's not kosher. Yes. He says, Vehasiman agadol. He calls it the great siman, the great sign. Be'ofot, by birds, that you could automatically disqualify the bird's kashrut, he had derisa. Derisa in Hebrew means to trample. That they use their body to trample other living creatures. Such a bird, says the Ramban, you don't have to know the name, le'olam tameh. You can be guaranteed that if it tramples and kills other live animals, birds, fish, whatever, then you know that this bird is not kosher. You don't need to get his ID. You don't have to say, okay, what's your name? I don't have to know your name. If you are such a bird, you are for sure in the non-kosher category. Says the Ramban, listen to these words. Why is that a siman? What's the connection between non-kosher and trampling, derisa? He says, ki ha-Torah hirhikatu, because the Torah wants you to stay away from such an animal. Mipene, because shedamo mehumam, that the blood of this bird is hot, boiling, le'achzariyuto, and it's boiling from its cruelty, for its cruelty. Ve'shahor ve'gas, all different types of descriptions of bad character. Okay, that's the bird. What does that do with me? He says that this kind of character, when you eat it, we think that when we eat things, it's just food. But says the Ramban that the Torah says, don't eat that bird. Why? He says, because it's noten achzariyut baler. It will cause a cruelty feeling in the person's makeup. As the famous saying says, you are what you eat. When you eat not kosher, then you become a piece of not kosher. You have to know that. Kashrut is not only a mitzvah, kashrut is something that affects the makeup of the person. It could be that struggles that he has in the spiritual world with his character, with his stubbornness, with his cruelty, with his inability to understand things, to connect to higher feelings, are all due to his diet. Eating isn't just putting things in your mouth and it goes in the machines and distributes. There is a spiritual effect that comes along with the food that you eat. There's the physical, and then there is the spiritual. And the Ramban is saying, when you eat from a vicious bird, that characteristic, the spiritual characteristic of that bird is coming along with the meat, with the food. And therefore, stay away from it. Because if you eat that, it will become a part of you. I have to share with you a letter that the Rambam wrote to a community that they asked him some questions about Emunah. They sent the Rambam a question. They had some Emunah questions. They didn't understand why this, why that. You know, people have questions of Emunah. You study Emunah all the time. So they had questions of Emunah. Who better than the Rambam to ask this question? They sent a letter to the Rambam with their questions. Says the Rambam in his letter back to this community. I guess he knew them. He says, being that your community is not careful with kashrut, I don't know what level they weren't careful, but he says to them, being that your community is not careful with kashrut, he says, when you eat something like kosher, it's metamter et alev. It dummies your spiritual abilities. Doesn't make the person not intelligent, but it makes his spiritual ability to connect dull. He says, and all the answers that I can give you for your questions are not going to be acceptable on such a person. So therefore, I'm not answering you. Waste of time. Because Emunah is a huge part of the spiritual person that connects him to his creator. But if the faculties of his spiritual reality is dull, so what are you going to say? It's like trying to get a person to throw with their right hand when their right hand, lo aleinu, has been shut down, can't move it. Some people, lo aleinu, they have some sort of physical issue, and the right side, they can't move. Now I tell the guy, throw the ball in your right hand. Let me show you. He shows him a video. Look at this video, study it. Look how to move your arm. This is how you throw. This is how you move. This is how you step. It's a waste of time. The guy's got no arm to move. The Rambam is saying that when a person doesn't have a kosher diet, when a Jew
doesn't have a kosher diet. The Jewish ability of emunah is weak. And even if I would teach you, I'll send you a video, I'll show you everything, how to connect. Can't do it. Unbelievable, Ramban.
Once we know this information, we go to one of the birds that the Torah says is not kosher. The name of this bird is the Hasida.
Hasida sounds like a very beautiful name.
The word Hasida comes from the word Hesed. You know, the words and names of animals in the Torah is not a made-up name because of a scientist who discovered the birds, so they called them after the person or things of that nature. Hazal tell us that every name of every animal was given by Adam HaRishon that is an appropriate description of the essence of that animal. So a hamor is the reason why it's called a hamor. And every bird and every animal and every fish, whatever name it has, it's a name that describes its essence. So it's not just a name for us to communicate so we know what we're talking about. It's a descriptive name of the essence of whatever you're talking about. So the Hasida comes from the word Hesed. And in fact, Rashi tells us, why is this bird called the Hasida? So Rashi says, by the way, this bird is the stork, the Hasida, yeah? So Rashi says, V'lama nikra shema Hasida? Why is this bird called the Hasida? She'osa Hasidut. She does kindness. She goes out of her way. The word Hasidut describes someone who goes beyond. So she does Hasidut. Im Havroteh. She does kindness with her friends. Bemezonot. With food. She shares food with her friends. So she comes back with food and shares. And that's why she's called the Hasida. Wonderful. So some ask, the Hiddushei Harim asked this question, and others ask, if indeed that kashrut has to do with what we eat, that it makes a negative effect on us. So why would the Hasida be from the non-kosher birds? Hesed is one of the pillars of success in this world. Olam Hesed Yibaneh. If we can eat a bird that has the midah of Hesed, that would make us be more attracted to kindness, and it would be a big mitzvah to eat that bird. So why would the Torah say the Hasida? No, not kosher. She'osa Hasidut Eim Havroteha Bimzonot. The famous answer that's given to this question is how meduyak, how perfectly specific Rashi Alav HaShalom was when describing the Hasida. He didn't just say she does kindness. She does kindness im havroteha, with her friends.
if you're on the A-list of the Hasida,
everyone's got their own A-list. It's not one A-list. Everyone's got their own version of the A-list.
So if on your A-list,
of that Hasida, she's all in to help you.
If you're not on the A-list, so then you're out of consideration for her kindness.
Hesed with your A-list people, says the Torah,
Hesed with your A-list,
whether the A-list was made through social considerations,
people who are like you socially,
whether your A-list is religious reasons,
whether your A-list is
geographical reason,
whether your A-list is family reasons, however you decide your A-list,
the A-list describes people that are important to you.
That's your A-list.
If you only do kindness for A-list people,
Havrotea are people who think like you,
people who agree to your lifestyle, then your Hesed is not a Hesed Tov. It's a hesed ra. You're not a bad person,
but you're not a baal chesed. Because the quality of your hesed, not that great.
You go to a bakery and they make bread, not so great. Still bread.
And it still could satisfy you. But it's not so good.
Because you're a person that does hesed with people like you. This is a very big hiddush. The Gemara says in Masechet Yoma, listen to these words, Mikdash Sheni, the second Beit HaMikdash, Shehayu Oskimbo, that the Jewish people were busy. Oskim means they were in it. But Torah, they were learning Torah. Be-mitzvot, they were committed to a life of mitzvot. U-be-gmilut hasadim, and they were full of kindness, full of hesed.
You look at a nation that's full of Torah, full of mitzvot, and full of kindness. What else could you ask from them? So the Gemara say, I don't understand why there would be destruction to such people. So why did it get destroyed? Famous words, Mipeneh shehaita bo sinat hinam.
Because they had hatred for each other.
The obvious question is, you just told me that they were people of Hesed. How does Gemilut Hasadim fit with Sinat Inam? How could someone be called
a person of kindness and yet be guilty of hatred. Kindness means I care for you, want to help you, I want to do for you. Hatred and kindness, they don't go in the same track. How could that be? And the Gemara is testifying, Gemilut Azadim, they were great. Oh, but it was hatred. How's that possible? But according to the Hasidah, we understand. To their friends, to people who were like them, to their Haverim, to their A-list, they were full of kindness. Guy's checkbook is full of tzedakah, person's actions, full of help of this one, of that one. But at the same time, people not on their A-list, or people who used to be on their A-list, are out. Hatred. It's possible to be a person who's full of kindness and full of hatred at the same time. Kindness for the Haverim, for my people, and hatred for not my people. Seemingly, this that we're learning about kindness with a specific list to exclude others is seemingly against one of the important Torah principles. Seemingly everything we just learned is against a principle that we're taught about in Masechet Baba Metziah. Over there, the Gemara says that if two people were walking in the desert, the hot desert, no convenience stores, no 7-Elevens, nowhere to buy, no wells to drink from, empty, hot desert, and you're walking with your friend. They went to sightsee and they got lost. And there's nobody around. And it got really hot. And Reuven and Shimon are together. Shimon has nothing on him. Reuven has one bottle of water. The bottle of water is desperately needed by both. If they don't drink water, they're going to die. Problem is, the bottle or the cup of water that he has, the amount of water that he has, is only enough to keep one person alive. So if they share the water, they're both dying. If Reuven keeps the water, he will live, Shimon will die. So what should they do? Hesed says, you have to worry about people. So says Ben Petura, unbelievable. Says Ben Petura, Mutav sheyishtu. Shenehem veyamutu.
Let him die.
Both of them.
You do your job. You could take for yourself and give him, split it. You're both gonna die. Not your business. You have to do chesed. So therefore, there's no choice in the matter. You can't watch your friend dying without helping him, and you can't. as he's dying, give him some water. You're also dying, so give yourself water. And the end, they're both not going to have enough. That's God's business. That's what Ben Pitzvah holds. You can't push away helping your friend because you have ulterior motives of you staying alive. Sounds crazy, but that's what he's saying. At Shebar Rabbi Akiva, which means this halakha seemed to have been observed the way we just explained it. Says the Braita, until Rabbi Akiva came to the scene, Velimed, and he taught from a pasuk in the Torah, Vehe Achicha Imach. Torah says, make sure you keep your brother alive with you. What's with you? So he says, from there we learn, Hayecha, that your responsibility for your life, Hayecha, Kodmim Lehaye Havecha. Your life is ahead of your friend's life. So therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, you have to keep yourself alive, drink as much as you need to be alive, and anything beyond that, to help your friend. This is a halakha in Shulchan Aruch that says a person has to go ahead of others for himself. But even beyond that, Shulchan Aruch gives a list of priorities of how to give charity, to distribute charity, not only charity money, but also chesed, how to help people. Shulchan Aruch says, that a person has to first help his father. Then he has to help his brothers. His family comes first. So he says his children come first, then his brothers, then other family, then his neighbors, which means that wherever you are in life, meaning why would my neighbors come ahead just because I happen to live on this block, so now my neighbors come first? Answer is yes, because Hashem is the one who puts you where you are in life and puts them. Hashem is always making zibugim. There's a reason why he's your brother. There's a reason why that guy is your neighbor. There's a reason why that guy is not your neighbor. When you live with emuna, you understand that there's nothing that's coincidental. And wherever you are in life, there's a reason why you're there. So don't say, what, just because I'm the guy's neighbor, so now I have to take responsibility? Answer is yes. Because you're not just the guy's neighbor. You are a person that was placed there. And then he says, your neighbors come ahead of the people in your city. The people of your city are ahead of people in other cities. And it gets wider and wider and wider. Starts with you. And then it keeps expanding. Family, neighbors. Seems to be a contradiction to everything we're learning. What's wrong with the Hasida that she's doing kindness with her friends? What's the problem? If it's the people in her circles,
if it's her A-list, that's the people that she's around. And if so, Shulchan Aruch would tell the Hasida, you're doing great. You're helping the people that are close to you. Why are we saying that that is a chesed that isn't proper? So there's a very fundamental answer to this question. Number one. When Shulchan Aruch says, you have to help the people closer to you, he doesn't mean to the exclusion of others. It doesn't mean that you say, oh, that guy, you're not my neighbor. I have to help you. That's not what it means. It means that in the list of priorities, when you could only help one out of two people, so you must choose the one that's close. But let's say someone needs your help that's not your neighbor. You can't turn to Shulchan Aruch and say, well, you told me that guy, since he lives five blocks away, not my neighbor, but I have to worry about him. But wait, are you able to help him? I'm able to, but he's not my neighbor. I only help my neighbors. Shulchan Aruch will tell you, you're misunderstanding the halakha. We only mean to tell you, when you have two people and you could only help one, so then you must put the first guy ahead of the second. And if you help the first and you could also help the second, you have to help both. So the Shulchan Aruch is not telling you that you can go around and saying, I don't take care of these people. It's not my responsibility. Responsibility of kindness is to every person that needs us. Doesn't matter where they live. Person lives in LA, person lives in Eretz Israel. You have a Yehudi from Mexico, doesn't matter. Makes no difference where the person lives and what list he is to you. If he needs help and you can help him, you're required to help him, no different if he was your son or your brother. No difference. No, zero difference. You can't say, oh, you know why I helped him? Because he's my brother. You know why I helped him? Because he's my friend. That is a apikorsut. You say, I helped the guy, yeah, he's my friend. You help him because he's your friend? You don't help him because he's your friend. You help him because he's in need. You can't just help your friends. Now, again, if the question is, I could only help one of two people, then because he's closer to me, so he's a priority, it's something else. But I don't help him because he's my friend. People say, oh, for my friends, I'll do anything. That's against all hashkafa of Torah. For my friends, I'll do anything. Really, Torah says you have to do anything for all of Am Yisrael. That's not an appropriate way. It sounds very nice. But it's anti-Torah. It's anti-proper view of our responsibility in this world. Again, priorities, who goes first? That's a different question. But Shulchan Aruch does not mean that you don't have a responsibility for other people. Make sure you have that in mind. You see a guy in need,
That's your responsibility. Oh, maybe you can't help him because you're in the middle of helping your brother. Okay. Fine, you're a human being. So you can only do one at a time. That's okay. In fact, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Alav HaShalom, writes in Igrot Moshe, Halacha Lemaaseh, that this, that your brother goes ahead of your neighbor, is only if the needs are equal. So for example, your brother needs bread to survive, and your neighbor needs bread to survive, and you could only give, you only have one extra loaf. So, you have to give to your brother. He says, but what if your brother has bread, but he's lacking meat? He needs meat. He, you know, it's also considered something lacking. And your neighbor doesn't have bread. In that case, your neighbor goes first. Because the need by him is greater. So this is not a blanket rule that just look at your A-list people and everybody else is irrelevant. It's a very big mistake. Again, we can't help every person practically because our reach can't get to everyone. But the responsibility is no different. Just an order issue. So we can't just dismiss our responsibilities because people aren't close to us. Now we're talking about money, we're talking about food, we're talking about physically helping someone, and we're talking about giving a person a feeling of warmth. You can't walk in the hallway and say, I don't know that guy. What do I have to say hello to him? I say hello, I see my friends, the boys. When I see the boys, forget about it. Give them the biggest hug. I tell them how much I love them. That guy, he's not from my boys. He's from the different boys. Not important. Now, what is it? At this moment, as you're walking the hallway, what does it cost you to give a guy a smile? You're not involved in anything right now that doesn't allow you to smile to the guy, to make him feel like you actually care about him? Sometimes people want to give you the opposite. They walk by you and they want to show you, I don't care about you. You think I need you? You think you matter to me? I don't care if you would be dead right now. What's the difference in it? I don't need you. This way, I become hashub in your eyes. I walk around, I don't need anybody. Watch this. I walk, no recognition of anyone else. Ani ve'afsi ond. I'm self-sufficient. It's a sickness. It's a spiritual sickness. One guy once told me, but I see sometimes, very religious guy, he did it. He walks, he ignores people. So he's not very religious. I tell you. Yeah, he's very good in A, B, C, which that you could learn from him. But in this area, not that great. Ah, you'll say, is it possible? Yeah, well, open up Masechet Yoma, you'll see. People are learning Torah, they're doing mitzvot, they're doing chesed, and yet they have a problem. Don't learn Judaism from the Jews. Not everything a Jew does is Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. So for example, in such a case, there's no such thing as saying, oh, I only smile, I only say hello,
I only give Shabbat Shalom to people that I'm close to. That's ridiculous. Shabbat Shalom is a bracha. You see another Jew, give him a bracha. What's the problem? It's not costing you a moment. It's not costing you anything. All kinds of hesed. So therefore, the halakha is not telling you that these people are not on the list. It's just a question of priority. And besides that, the halakha is not saying that you shouldn't care about the guy. For example, sometimes you can't help somebody. Okay, so you can't help him, but you feel bad at least. There's a certain feeling that's valuable, even if you can't help somebody, to at least feel that you wish you could help them. That feeling has a lot of value. Just like we see in the Torah, a number of places, people who didn't get something and they felt bad they didn't get it. Hashem gave it to them. You find a number of places. We know we can't bring Korban Pesach. But you know what? We feel bad. We wish that we could. Oh yeah, Hashem says, you really feel bad? I'll give you Pesach Sheni. So just because you can't help someone, it doesn't mean that you should feel great about it. Feel, oh, I wish I could help him. I wish I had enough money to go around him. I wish I had enough time to give this one and that one and that one. That's the story of the Hasidah. That she does chesed with her A-list, with her buddies, with the boys, with people like her.
Only.
Oh, yeah. It's just to finish off. Rashi says she does chesed with her friends bimzonot. Rashi adds the word food. Why is that important? What's the difference? How she does chesed with her friends? Why does Rashi say with food? What does that matter? If that's what she has, that's fine. But why do we have to know? It's food. This is another reason why the chesed of a hasidah is no good. It's in the chesed ra category. Because she does chesed according to what she wants to give. You know, people who say, listen, me, I'm a food guy. A food guy. People need food, I help them. They want education. It's not my thing. It's not my thing. Another guy says, me, it's only education. That's like that. People need to be educated, they help them. Food, not for me. Being specific according to what you decide that you want to give others is not hasadim tovim. Hesed doesn't start with what you like. Here you are putting again yourself in the front. Hesed depends on what the guy needs. He needs food, give him food. He needs something else, give him help. That's why the Hasidah is a chesed pasul. She does chesed bimzonot. A friend says, could you help me lift a box? No, oh, I don't do that stuff. That's not my thing. I don't help people in that area. You please help me take this bag across the street? Oh, I don't do that stuff. I write checks. I don't do that. I'm a guy who writes checks. Another guy says, no, I don't write checks, but I help like this.
Everyone's got their own version of how they do hasid. Now you could be good at something, and therefore you end up doing more of something because you're good at it. That's something else. But if you're only programmed to do what you want, you decided that you're this guy,
it's a problem.
Or you have a guy who does hasid on Mondays. Monday is the time I help people. I see the guy came on Tuesday. Listen, I'm dying, my family, I have no food, I need...
on the next Monday.
Oh, I wish you came yesterday. Come Monday. I do hasid on Monday. Hasid hour. You can't decide the hours. You could dedicate time to help people and they come to you at that time. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm dedicating 2 hours on Monday for people to come. It's okay. But not to exclude people who happen to need you and you can help them. All that's included in what Rashi says. She does hesed with her friends, with food. Meaning she chooses who and how. That's not called hasadim tovim. Torah says that bird is not kosher. Don't eat it. Not good for you. Such hesed is not the hesed you're looking for. Baruch Allah, maybe I'll...